Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. I'm your host, SBJ, and your beautiful co-host here today.
Ooh, beautiful.
I feel like I said that prior. I need to think of like new adjectives.
So sweet.
It's just weird to say like, and your co-host.
You could just keep calling me beautiful and I'd be fine with that.
Your dual blade co-host.
Nah, I'm not good enough with dual blades yet.
Micah.
To be making those claims.
How are you?
Good.
This is episode 7 of The Carve, podcast about Monster Hunter.
Off to a grand start.
Let me just set up the episode. We are going to be talking about two things in particular. We are going to be talking about the Monster Hunter Stories demo.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to be talking about the demo for Monster Hunter Double Cross on the Nintendo Switch, Japanese version, of course.
I think that's the only version.
Just, you know, being very clear.
Just reminding everybody who is really bitter about no English version.
There is, I do want to say, right before I forget, before we get into things, I'm going to be at PAX West. You, unfortunately, are not going to be there.
Currently, no. It's looking more and more like no.
I mean, if
it's possible.
If you make some magic happen, I get you a ticket there.
I might have some magic up my sleeve.
And a sudden flight, I would suppose. Yeah.
I'll just fly my one-eyed Rathalos.
Oh, okay.
Some foreshadowing.
I will be at PAX West. I will actually be there because I'm doing a Pokemon panel for my other podcast, It's Super Effective. That will be on Monday at like noon. If you care about that, I'm sure you probably already know the details.
And if you don't, maybe you would be. We actually just did a live stream.
Yeah,
if you want to see us on a couch side by side.
Yeah, we played through Pokemon Leaf Green. Well, correct. Not all of it, but
some of it.
But why bring up PAX? It wasn't to promote my other podcast. That wasn't a hidden agenda that I had. The reason I bring that up because there is a Monster Hunter panel at PAX, and it's hosted by the people from Monster Hunter New York City. I don't know who they are. I'm not gonna lie.
Capcom Unity Community Managers? Is that who's doing it? No.
No. From my understanding, and again, I don't know exactly 100%. I just know that it's a Monster Hunter panel.
Okay.
The Monster Hunter New York City, or NYC. I'm not sure how they say it.
Yeah.
They do weekly meetups for the game.
Oh.
So every, I believe, Saturday night they get together and they get like 50 people every weekend.
You know what? I wonder if that's the group that I saw when my brother and I were at the Nintendo Center in New York City.
Or just Nintendo.
Or it was just a bunch of random people.
Well, I mean, if it was the release of Monster Hunter, I am assuming Nintendo did something specific.
It was in that window. It wasn't the actual release of it. It was in the launch window.
Sure.
But it seemed to be like Capcom organized.
Was it upstairs in the...
It was.
Yeah, because upstairs is where they do organized play.
They had cards and stuff that they were giving.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was organized.
So Monster Hunter New York City, I know, are on the panel, but Kogoth on Twitter, head of the Monster Hunter Wiki, is also on the panel.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So I will finally get to meet them.
Shout out to Kogoth.
Fan of the show. I say fan of the show because they've retweeted us a couple times, so I'm assuming they like it. But that's it. I'm going to be at PAX West, so if you guys are there, don't hesitate to, you know, like tweet at me on Twitter and say that you want to say hi. I would love to talk Monster Hunter. I will definitely have my Switch with me. So if you guys are also switching it up with the double cross demo,
I don't know if I can handle that one.
Would love to play. You guys can see how bad I am in real life.
Perfect.
What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Monster Hunter Stories first or Double Cross?
I think we should talk about Double Cross first because we already touched on it last week, and I think there's a lot more to talk about for Stories.
Okay.
Just because it's so much, not newer, but there's so much more that's new to it, I guess.
Well, I'm gonna lean on you a lot because you've been playing way more than I have, and I say that because you're like on my couch playing, and I'm like editing or designing or prepping for streams, and you're just having a good old time hunting stuff.
Ooh.
So I played it. It feels really good. We made the joke last week where you told me how to lock on, and I immediately hated that because once I got the other stick in my hand, it just felt, well, it felt like 3U. It felt natural to me.
Yeah. I tried to use the second stick, and I do sometimes, but when I'm in the heat of a monster battle, I keep defaulting to the, like, L button targeting correction.
Because you're so used to it.
I'm so used to it.
3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, not me.
Well, I did, so, I did, what's the name of the first monster in the demo? I'm blanking on it.
I'm so...
The Great Macau.
Yeah, the Great Macau.
The three monsters in the demo are that you can fight are the Great Macau as the beginner level.
Yep.
The Baryoth as the intermediate level.
Hmm?
And then the Valfalk as the advanced level.
Okay.
Which is, Valfalk is the new Double Cross monster, the flagship monster for Double Cross.
Okay, I have not done that yet.
I attempted it, and I didn't beat it.
So you, when you mean flagship, you mean like how
Legicris?
Laggy was Leggy. The flagship of 3U.
Feel free to correct us because we both don't know how to say it. I've always called it Legicris, and I'm pretty sure that that's wrong.
That sounds better than anything that could possibly come out of my mouth.
Like Legiacris, maybe? Legiacris?
So the
I don't know.
The flagship for you. Here's your monster name butchering of the week. Was it Gormagolia?
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect.
So I think the Japanese name was Baru Faruk?
We're talking about...
For Double Cross.
Oh, okay.
Which, I guess, the American translation is Valfalk.
That sounds easier to say.
Yeah.
Valfalk.
I agree. It's essentially a giant bird wyvern with, like, rocket wings. If you could imagine, like, a fighter jet that was also a dragon and shot, like, missiles out of its face... That's pretty much the summary of Valfalk.
I mean, that sounds rad.
It's really cool.
How far into the fight did you get? Did you break anything? Did you cut anything?
No.
Did you,
Absolutely not.
What were you using? Dual blades?
I believe I was using the greatsword when I tried it.
Old Faithful.
And I got, I don't know, maybe like 5-10 minutes in. And I just, I don't know anything about it. I've never seen anybody fight it. I don't know the attack patterns. It has these things where it backs up and then shoots missiles at you. It'll hover like it's going to fly away, and then it'll just drop missiles on you. I say miss. It's just like projectiles. Like red projectiles.
And you got triple carded.
It will take off. It'll leave. And sometimes it will, it's like it's going to another area. But it just circles, you can see on the mini map, it'll circle the area and then just come straight back and run right into you.
Hmm.
It's a very cool monster, but it's very hard.
Difficult?
Yeah. For me, at least.
Sure.
I saw somebody on Twitter soloed it. And I was like, well, that's definitely not going to be my experience.
I feel like in all the demos, I was able to do intermediate and advanced pretty... You know, advance might have took a couple more times, but
yeah.
I felt like in every single demo, I didn't have that much of a problem with advance. But I can't remember what advance was for the last demo. I know the Tetsukabra was the intermediate last time.
Hmm. I don't remember the demos too much.
I remember,
so default to you.
I want to say it was for you specifically because I played that for the first time. At PAX South.
Okay.
I went to the very first PAX South.
Yeah.
And Nintendo was there. And the two games they had in their booth was Monster Hunter 4U.
Yeah.
The demo. I think they also released the demo on the eShop the day before. So it was like...
I do remember now it was in the eShop. That was one of the first... When I was streaming on Twitch, it was like end of 2014.
Yeah.
Early 2015.
Because
that was one of the first 3DS games that I streamed.
I played
the
that
demo.
I played that demo on the plane there. I remember it now.
Yeah.
I was so excited for 4U. I played the demo on the plane. And so then when I got there, it was actually really cool. So it was, there were Capcom reps, maybe, yeah, I think there were Capcom reps, but helping out the Nintendo people.
Okay.
But they were in Nintendo space. They had two stations with 4DSs each. They could do two groups of hunts, and they were doing everyone on to Super Cabra.
That's Cabra.
Yep. And I remember the other thing they were showing off was the new Nintendo 3DS. Because
that time?
Everyone wanted to feel the nub.
The nub.
Everyone wanted...
that was like, you don't need a Circle Pad Pro anymore.
Right.
You have the nub.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm using currently on Generations, and it's not great. It does the job, but it's not great.
And I remember one of the reps were like, wow, you're really like, you got this fight down. And I was like, well, I've been playing the demo on the plane, so like I've actually done this fight over and over. But the reason I was playing at the booth, mostly because I wanted to see how the new Nintendo 3DS felt.
Got it.
But they were giving you tickets. So every time you played a game...
To play it? Like to get there?
Like a raffle ticket.
Yeah.
So every time you played, you got a raffle ticket.
Okay.
And if you got 4 raffle tickets, you could trade it in and get a new Nintendo 3DS t-shirt.
Oh.
So I played in 4U 3 times.
Okay.
Not like instantly.
Yeah.
It was just like,
One after another.
Yeah. It was like, oh, there's no line. I'm going to go over and play again.
They're like, can we please get him out of here?
And then my friend Aaron played once and I was like, look, man, just give me your ticket. You're not going to get it. And I got myself a 3DS shirt.
The old t-shirt swindle. Do you have that shirt still?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's just a black shirt and it says new Nintendo 3DS on it.
Hmm.
I'll sport it for Gen Con this week.
The coveted new Nintendo 3DS shirt.
I like how we were supposed to talk about Double Cross demo and here's me talking about Monster Hunter 4U demo. We did 2 hunts together. We kind of mentioned this last week. We were hunting against the
Baryoth.
Baryoth. We failed both times.
Yeah, we did. And I tried it again solo, and I got really, really close. And I still failed it.
What's
I'm not going to say that it's because I'm failing it because I'm not bad at the game, because that's true. But I'm also trying to learn a new weapon.
Yeah.
Which is sort of affecting that.
Well, let's make some excuses here.
Perfect.
So the first fight...
I'm in the business of excuses.
The first fight, you died twice.
Yeah.
And then I was setting a trap.
Correct.
And then I died during the trap setup, which I thought if I got hit one more time, I would actually survive it.
Yeah.
And I didn't. We failed that hunt.
And then the second one, I think we failed to time.
To time.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I think you only died once. I didn't die at all, but we ran out of time.
So while we're doing excuses...
Yes.
Not entirely the reason that I died so many times, but part of it is I was trying a new weapon, and in the demo, there's the new styles that exist in Double Cross that are new to Double Cross.
Yes.
Not the Switch version, just Double Cross in general. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything that's like intrinsically new in the Switch version. I think it's just a port of Double Cross entirely, as far as
right.
I know.
I think you're correct.
For all of the weapons, there are 2 new styles. There's the Brave style and the Alchemy style.
Is Brave the new one?
Brave and Alchemy are the 2 new... I believe so. It's... of all the... Yeah, Brave and Alchemy are the new ones. So, in total, it's Guild, Striker, Aerial, and Bushido. And
which,
then Brave. And,
I think in America they called Adept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's a different, I don't know.
I always called it Adept. I don't know where I got that word from.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's right. I'm pretty sure that's what it is in the American version, but I don't know if there's a difference between Bushido and Adept. I'm pretty sure there's not. Just
I thought there was.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was the same, and you're like, I think something's different.
No, I just misremembered it because you get one power.
Yeah.
The first power you get is for the hammer. You get it winds up the hammer and then smashes.
Yeah.
And I hated it because I would always miss. So there was a different power which I used when I used Adept, and it was the one where you got, I want to say, unlimited stamina for a bit.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I want this one because I can get it faster and I can use it more often. and like that's more valuable to me.
Yeah.
But the whole reason I like Abdep is because while I'm not getting these bonus superpowers,
mm-hmm.
it's visually and gameplay wise rewarding me for dodging, and that's something I wanted to work on.
Yeah.
So to get that like little chime and to get your character glowing white, to like successfully notify you that you did a dodge with perfect timing, like that was even if I don't use what comes after that.
Yeah.
The game is still letting me know that I successfully dodged, and that was important to me.
I mean, that's a good reason. I think that's as good as reason, good a reason as any.
Plus, if you're going to tell me they're going to go away, at least I feel like I'm still getting value from that specific style.
There's still a skill you're learning from that.
Yeah.
Right. So Brave Style, for anybody that doesn't know, is, I believe it's the more you get hit, the more it powers you up and gives you the ability to use the powers that you have. And Alchemy Style
is... That doesn't sound very brave at all.
Well, because you're in the heat of the battle.
Oh, I see.
You're in there deep. I may be wrong on that, so don't take that as gospel, but I didn't spend a ton of time with the Brave Style. Alchemy Style, however, gives you a barrel that you can, at certain points, use to dump out, and it gives you items. This is where this is hazy for me, because it's all in Japanese. In the middle of a battle, when I'm in the middle of fighting a monster, it's not really a great time to be using my Google Translate app on my phone to be snapping shots of the screen. But it looks like it gives you multiple items that you can select from. So you dump out the barrel and you have a couple items that you can pick from. And then when you pick one, then the other one goes away, I believe.
Oh. It's not
I don't
like a
know
bunch
if
of
there's
like raw
a
meat
random,
or anything.
Yeah, it's like rations or I don't know. I don't remember what the other thing was. I don't know if there's any like rhyme or reason to it. I'm assuming that there probably is, and maybe you get better items the more you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speculating at this point. I'd have to play it more to see. But I tried Brave Style and I tried Alchemy Style a little bit.
Did you like either of them?
Brave Style's okay. I like it. Yeah, I mean, I got to spend more time with them to really get a feel for it, but Brave Style seems okay. And it's also good for a dummy like me that just, you know, gets in the way.
Right.
And then there's the Beast Mode for the Prowler is the other new
addition. You try that?
I did try that.
Okay, let's hear it.
And I actually really like that one a lot.
Are you going to do Prowler, though, for Double Cross?
I mean, I'll get a Prowler going, and then maybe, I don't know.
I feel like
occasionally,
Double Cross is like my prep for World. I feel like
I think if I mean I wouldn't do it as like a primary. I would do it as something like that's fun, you know.
So sell me on Beast Mode.
So Beast Mode for Prowler is you have a gauge that goes up to I think 7, and as you're building that gauge, then you get the ability to at some point use an item that will put you into Beast Mode. Again, please take some of this with a grain of salt because I'm trying to understand what's happening based on my lack of Japanese language knowledge.
Somebody's writing in very angrily and just like, read the wiki.
All of this is wrong. But I didn't want to, like, I kind of wanted to challenge myself by not reading a translation of the wiki or whatever, because that's pretty much what that experience is going to be like when the game comes out. Like, I'm not really going to have the ability to, on the fly, like, stop in the middle of a monster fight
and like
pull out my laptop and look up what this does or what that does or whatever. So I'm trying to see if I can figure things out on my own without having to do that, just based on the information the game gives me. But once you use the item, I think it's a horn, one of the, like, horns that you can use as a prowler.
Mm-hmm.
You enter Beast Mode, which is just, like, you're a really angry cat that's glowing red. And you have really long claws, and you just attack really fast and really hard. And you do all kinds of, like, air spins, and I don't know. It's just, it's like, reckless but powerful. It was really fun. And it's also a lot of, like, angry cat, like...
noises?
Yeah. Like, meowing and angry
like,
meowing.
Like
and
what you hear in my house consistently.
Yes. Constantly reminds me of your cats fighting at night.
Oh, they go into beast mode once 1 a.m. hits. Tell you that.
I would love to hear, though, if I got a lot of that wrong, which I probably did. Feel free to write in.
I think, I mean, there's a ton of discovery and, I don't want to use the word value because I felt like I've already used that word a couple times, but there's a ton of discovery and value in playing a Monster Hunter game for the first time and just not immediately looking things up.
Yeah.
I mean, we're both at the disadvantage where we don't know any Japanese, and so, like, looking up yes and no and
right
and which style on the menu, I don't feel like that takes away from any of the discovery, but going into alchemy style for the first time, I can easily see somebody who's like, I don't want to know what it does, I just want to go in and kind of figure it out on my own, and I think that's not a wrong way to play.
I don't think so, but I'm also biased because that's what I'm doing. I just think that, you know, it gave me a little bit more of an experience of, like, trying to figure it out on my own. Because there's going to be that, I think,
yeah,
with importing a game that you can't pause and stop and look at, you know. Like,
sure. And not to get too off topic, but talking about, you know, maybe us not knowing completely everything, in this case for Double Cross, you know, I came to Monster Hunter with no one telling me to play it, no one holding my hand, no one telling me to stick with it, and it was rough to play that 3U demo for the first time and go, like, this isn't fun. I don't understand why everyone I'm listening to on, like, podcasts or yeah, gaming blogs, not actual people I know. When it finally clicked with me, it was so great and satisfying. And yeah, then to, like, the next day and the next day and the next day, just discover stuff and go, like, oh my god, I've been playing this game for 4 days and I didn't even know there was a farm over here with cats. And it's like, oh, I didn't know I could send out fishing nets. And it was like 2 weeks before I even discovered there was an online hub and I could actually do the same exact thing with other people. Yeah. And those were all, like, really surprising. And I don't think telling somebody, like, you should play Monster Hunter is really great. Just read wikis. Like, it'll tell you everything. Like, I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong way to play it.
Yeah,
but
of course,
there's definitely something about the charm that the game does have that shouldn't be overlooked.
Right. And I've used wikis in the past for, like, I need to, I don't know, get a specific item I don't really know where it is or whatever.
I love
and,
wikis.
Yeah. And I've been, like, historically a fan of, if I'm playing, like, an RPG or something, because I'm very completionist about it, like, using a strategy guide to some extent, like, to make sure I'm getting all of the, you know, special weapons or whatever, or I'm getting all of the side quests and everything, so.
I love going into a hunt still, not knowing what the monster's about.
Yeah.
Of, oh, I've never fought this thing, this will be really exciting. Oh, cool. I didn't bring any hot drinks. Okay, great.
It's really great.
But if you can complete it at that disadvantage on your first time, it feels really good.
Yeah.
But if you don't, no big deal. You know,
not
next
the
time.
Case with Volfolk and myself.
Bring in some hot drinks. Well, that's exciting. I'm sure we're like, what, 2 weeks out from the actual game?
It's really close.
Well, whoo.
Woo. Woo. It's real close.
Well, we'll be talking about it some more. Let's change our story a little bit.
Oh, good transition.
And talk about Monster Hunter story.
And by good, I mean bad transition.
Now available in the English 3DS eShop. Came out 4 or 5 days ago. I should note that we're recording this podcast a little bit earlier in the week than we normally do because we're both headed out to Gen Con this week.
If you're at Gen Con, come and find us.
Yeah, tweet at Carve Podcast. Let us know. If you have... I will have my Switch there, so if you want a Monster Hunter, we can do that.
I will as well. Maybe we can finally beat a Beria.
No, yeah, I would love to do that. But so we're recording this a little early, so hopefully, fingers crossed,
no dramatic
Monster Hunter news coming. Always seems to be the case when we record earlier in the week. Again, same position. I put like an hour and a half into stories. I think you put 6 hours in. You pretty much finished the demo.
I did everything that I can see I can do right now.
Okay, so let's put a little spoiler warning up. The game exists in Japan. It's out there. It's been out there.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about any of that. We're just going to talk about the demo itself and the, you know, if Michael wants to talk about the end of the demo, I think that's fair game. But if we have some unanswered questions, we haven't really looked at the Japanese stuff. And I think that surprise and discovery is still there for both of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't want to look it up. I don't either.
I don't want to know. I'm having such a good time with it, and I don't want to spoil any of that.
So demo, I think, is fair game.
Expect that if someone who is listening to this who hasn't played the Japanese version also wants that experience, then they probably don't want us to talk about the...
Yes. There's your spoiler warning. We will talk about the demo, but if we ask really dumb questions of like, oh, I wonder if so-and-so is in it, I don't really want tweets of
being
like... Yeah,
don't let us know.
He's definitely in it at 37 hours and 22 seconds in. You definitely... So tell me about it. Clearly, you loved it. I mean, you blew through this very quickly.
It was... Once it came out, it was pretty much all I did until I completed it. I've put... Officially 6 hours and 2 minutes into the demo.
Solid. Well, so, you know, at 6 hours, 3 minutes, you know, the something,
so-and-so
the
shows
something
up.
Comes.
For anybody that doesn't know or hasn't played the demo yet, the demo is not so much a demo as it is just like the first portion of the game, like the earliest portion of the game.
And you told me, I'm trusting you, that all of this just gets transferred into the full game.
That's what I've read. I googled it multiple times.
Okay,
it showed up in
who can we trust?
It was either Gaijin Hunter or Eric. Somebody on my Twitter timeline.
We can't trust either of those guys.
Clearly, it was either of those two. I think that said that tweeted, and I first saw that you could transfer the save data from the demo to the main game, and then I said that to you, and you said, well, who said this? And I couldn't remember, so I googled it, and I found an article, like an official, not official, I don't think, but like a reputable source talking about it in an article.
Cool. I appreciate that in games.
I do, too.
Especially if it's, you know, something story-related and takes several hours. I don't really want to go through that again.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to do another 6 hours in this game, like the 6 hours I've done so far. I don't want to do that again.
From my understanding, you've accomplished a lot in that 6 hours.
I think I've done everything that I can so far.
For those who have maybe never played it, you know, what is it? I'm asking, this is a dumb, I know the answer, I've played it, but this is just like a general.
It's
pretend I didn't, sell me.
It's a semi-traditional JRPG. It feels similar to if you've played more recent Pokemon games like Sun and Moon. Or maybe Yo-Kai Watch would be a good example.
Mm.
Kind of like
Whisper.
The free movement.
That's a yokai.
Yeah, that is a yokai. I don't think it's a monster, though.
All right.
And I don't think you can ride it.
Okay. Wait, what's the cat thing called?
Naviru, I think is its name.
No, no. The important cat from Yo-Kai Watch.
Oh.
Kimshki.
You're putting me on the spot here.
I've never played...
Jibanyan? I think
oh,
is its name.
I think that's it. I've never played Yo-Kai Watch. I just see that cat.
My wife loves Yo-Kai Watch.
Really?
Oh, she loves it. It's one of her favorite 3DS games.
Does she like it more than like Pokemon?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, it's very surprising to
me. Divorce her. Right now.
It puts me in a good position, though, because it makes me want to continue those games. Because I think there's a lot of charm to them. But
yeah.
This isn't Yo-Kai Watchers podcast. This is
I will say though, Monster Hunter Stories did kind of remind me of like a Yo-Kai Watch or even the Final Fantasy Crystal
Explorers. Which Explorers was very similar to like Monster Hunter Lite.
Yes.
I guess it's more just that it's like a semi open world JRPG that is similar to a lot of in like basic gameplay elements to a lot of existing JRPGs that are kind of like more easygoing. It's very easygoing, especially for new people to the Monster Hunter franchise, which I think is the intention. I think the intention with Stories is if you like Monster Hunter for just the franchise, not specifically because of all of the gameplay elements and that's all you ever want, but you like the world and you like the creatures and so on and so forth, then this is something else that you can play that's fun and different. And if you don't know anything about Monster Hunter, or maybe you're too young for Monster Hunter, this is also a really easy buy-in for those people because it is easygoing, it's charming, it's not as strategic, I guess, I think, than like core Monster Hunter games.
Yeah.
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 The basic combat system is like a rock, paper, scissors system. You have technical attacks, power attacks, and speed attacks, and one of them bests the other in a circle.
Technical over speed, speed over power, power over technical?
Yes.
That's probably correct. Somewhere wrong.
You clearly played way more than I thought you did. It seems really basic, but there's a lot of elements to it that get a lot more detailed, that mm-hmm. add a lot more detail to the combat. So, like, you can do combos. I haven't figured out exactly how you do the combos, but it has happened to me before where it says, oh, weapon combo or whatever, where I'm using the greatsword and I get, you know, like an XXA combo or something, you know.
Sure.
But in this case, it was like speed, technical. So it shows you, like, you're doing combo, you're doing weapon combos, and that's an element to it. There's also an element to, if you both do the same, you and your monster do the same move at the same time, then you get, like, a bonus.
Double team.
But there's a lot of, before I get, like, into the mechanics that are new, there's a lot of mechanics from Monster Hunter that carried over. It still tries to keep a monster on, like, first encounter fairly vague. Like, you don't know what it is, you don't know what its HP is, you don't know what moves it does, you don't know its attack patterns. Mm-hmm. So they'll have attack patterns like this Arzeros will do mostly power attacks, but after three power attacks or something, then it'll do a technical attack, which you learn just by fighting it.
Yeah.
They also topple at some point, and you can just lay into them.
As one does.
Correct. There was something that they mentioned about paintballs, and I don't totally recall what it was. I think it was that it, like,
I picked up some paintballs.
Yeah.
I haven't used them.
There's all the, like, world items, too, like herbs and
honey.
Blue mushrooms and
tuna.
Honey. And
You gotta make arrows somehow, so you need the fish.
You gotta get the fish.
For the arrows. Yeah.
You just throw the fish in your arrow pack, and then you put them on your bow and you shoot them at the monsters.
It's really the most strategic way to play.
Correct.
Because when a monster gets impaled with a fish arrow, it stops and goes, oh, at least I got some fish.
Not a bad way to go.
Yeah. I noticed you can buy a hammer, but that button is not unlocked for me yet, so I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah. All of the weapon styles, I believe, are there. I don't know that for sure, because it doesn't let you... Does it let you navigate all the way through, even though you can't buy anything?
Can you now... I didn't try to buy anything yet, because I don't have enough gold.
Okay.
I could buy a sword and shield.
Yeah.
I think.
So the
right
two
now
weapons...
I have, like, a... Not a great sword, but I have, like, a long sword.
No, it's a great sword.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's very pointy.
Yeah, I don't... It's just a pointy greatsword.
Okay.
The two weapons you can use in the demo are the sword and shield and the greatsword. And there's two of each of those in the demo. So you have, like, your basic ones that you get assigned or whatever, which I think you just get assigned a greatsword right away. I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice.
And then you can go to the shop and buy the next best one.
Yeah, and at my point, I was like, I'm doing pretty good with this. I don't know if it's worth upgrading for, like, 2 points of damage.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather save my money to buy something even better later on.
So you can also upgrade using parts that you get from monsters. Anytime you kill a monster in combat, you carve, essentially.
Oh,
that name drop.
It took 7 episodes to get here.
You don't actually carve. It's just like it's your post battle winnings.
Yeah.
But the better you do, it's still a scoring system. So it's like, or you know, not still, but it's like I'm guessing E through S probably.
I don't think I've gotten anything lower than a C.
Yeah.
And I don't think I got anything higher than an A.
I did get an S a few times, and you get more items. Yeah. And so then you can take those, and you can't really use them in the demo because there's not there's not a ton that you can, you're like upgrading. Like you're not taking demo end boss parts and going to upgrade a weapon that's just like a really basic greatsword, you know?
Yeah.
But you still mine, you still fish, you still use the bug net. All of those elements are still there. You can catch, or you can get stone and ore and things like that, and all of that you can use to upgrade your weapons. You can also upgrade your armor. I mean, the like core elements are there. The core Monster Hunter elements are there.
I know, like the sounds are there too.
Oh yeah,
like the quest sound and the mission quest complete sound, and yeah, the quest board is even there. Your house with your bed,
yep,
is there.
Delivery box and all that. That's what surprised me, though, playing the demo. I didn't know that it was as long as it was. So when I was playing it, I kept thinking, okay, this is going to be where the demo ends. And by the time I got to the point where it gave me like 10 side quests I could do, or sub quests that I could do, and then more by talking to people in the town, I was like, when does this end? This is a long demo. And then I, you know, you just keep going, and it's I'm 6 hours in, and
we were both getting stories no matter what.
Yeah,
I mean, you put Monster Hunter on a shelf at a store, going to buy it.
Yes,
regardless of, you know, how good or bad it is, expectation level, was it better or worse than you kind of imagined it being?
I think it was better than I imagined it being. I had already expected like an easygoing JRPG, basically. Like a handheld, simplified JRPG. And there's just so much to it. And so much that fits, that comes from a world that I'm already a fan of.
Yeah.
That made it better. There's so much charm in this game. It's crazy. Like, the character reactions, the way that your character reacts, and like, even just still dialogue scenes. The art style, the way that they introduce monsters and the way that you work with monsters, and it's just all very, I mean, it's charming, for lack of a better word.
Would you say that it's charming?
I would say if I had to pick a word to describe it, it would probably be charming.
Huh. Interesting.
It's good.
I could go for a charming game. I played for an hour and a half, 2 hours. My first impressions, you probably remember.
Yes.
I played for about 15, 20 minutes the night it came out, and I was like, I don't like this. I think mostly because at the time there was so much dialogue.
Yeah.
And then I spent a lot of time like creating my character because I wasn't really happy with the eye options, and I don't know why I spent way too long making my character look decent. And then after that, there was just more dialogue. It's like, ah, oh, man.
In classic JRPG fashion.
Yeah.
You got to go through, wade through a sea of dialogue.
I'm spoiled with stuff like Final Fantasy and Pokemon, where I've played so many of those that I've hit all those beats before.
Yeah.
So when I get to stuff like that, I can skip through.
Yeah.
I've realized this about myself, though, as playing games. This was something I did with Destiny. This was something I did with Final Fantasy XIV. Pokemon, you know, Monster Hunter for the first time. I'll go through the game and pretty much skip all the story.
Yeah.
And I just want to know how it, like, feels and how it plays.
Right. Because
I guess in my eyes, if I'm going to sit there at the beginning of the game and commit to this story, and then all of a sudden, like an hour later, probably an exaggeration, but a period of time later, I'm playing the game and I decide that, oh, this doesn't feel good, or this isn't what I have an itch for, then I just felt like I wasted,
yeah,
that time. Like, oh, now I'm invested in the story, but I don't like how this plays.
That makes sense.
So, like with Destiny, I didn't get invested in the story until about 10 hours in, and then all of a sudden it clicked where I was like, I need to know everything about this game right now.
I think that makes total sense. That you don't want to invest that time. But Monster Hunter Stories is, I think, a perfect case for that, because there is a really long period of time before you get to the thick of the game.
Yeah, and once I got there, I actually liked it. And it just, it stuff clicked after a while. Like, oh, I didn't know that the monster attacking me is actually the monster, like, facing me at a specific angle. Like, it took me, like, 4 battles to realize, they're deciding to attack me. And then when I discovered how to double team...
Do you want to explain the, like, head-to-head thing a little bit?
Yeah. What you said prior, the monsters have a pattern. So if you fight a Velocidrome...
Yeah.
I think I said
I think
that,
you did that, right? Yeah.
They will almost always use speed attacks. And they have special attacks just like your... I'm assuming you started with a Velocidrome, too?
Yeah.
Your Velocidrome almost always does speed attacks as well. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
And in order to counter a speed attack, you would do a technical attack. A head-to-head is when the monster is facing you, the player character, and you are facing them, and you're both attacking each other.
Right.
And then it's like a little interaction. It'll say head-to-head, and that's where the rock, paper, scissors come in. Technical beats out speed. You pretty much double-ish your damage, and they pretty much like half-ish their damage.
Yeah. At
that point.
Yep.
Where if it was speed for speed, it's you just both end up damaging each other, and then if it was speed versus power, speed wins, and then you don't get to do as much damage, and they do even more damage to you.
Right.
And then if it's you and your monster, and you're both attacking the creature, and the creature is looking at you, and you both do speed, you do a double team, and you get a specific damage bonus for that.
I think that's how the double team happens. I could never really pinpoint why a double team was happening.
Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't work. Like, yeah. I'll see that my monster is doing speed, so I'll do speed.
It could be... So, another element to... There's many facets to this, but another element to this, and this is part of the story, I probably won't... We probably won't discuss much of the story, because I think you can play through that yourself and find the story, and if you enjoy it and whatever. But part of that story is that you get a kinship stone, it's called, and that shows your kinship with your monster, your monstie, they're called.
Monstie.
I don't know how I feel about the term monstie.
It's all right.
It's growing on me, but took a little bit. But it's basically, your character is a rider in this town. I'm going to try and do this as quick as possible.
Real good outfit, by the way.
Great outfit.
Charming outfit.
Charming. Would you say it's charming?
I would say it's definitely a charming outfit.
Pretty charming. So your character is what is called a rider in this town of, NPCs and riders and whatever. And what you do as a rider is you go through this ritual, you get this stone, and then it's what binds you to you and your monsters that you catch or hatch or whatever. You get eggs, you take the eggs to the cat. The cat, I don't know, lets you into the egg room, and then you go in there and you tap at the egg until it hatches, which seems like a way to not hatch eggs.
I'm assuming that this is just a guess. Again, I don't know. That there will be rare eggs that you get that have to sit there for a while before you can hatch them.
Oh, maybe.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. So right now, all it is when you're hatching an egg is you just tap at the egg. And if you tap it in certain spots, then it'll add to whatever monster comes out of it bonuses like +1 defense or +1 HP or whatever. This kinship stone binds you to any of the monsters that you hatch and the monster that you start with. And in battle, the way that it comes into play is you and your monster, as you're fighting and as you're taking damage, your kinship level is going up. It's like filling up the stone, which is on the bottom screen. And once it's at max, then you get the ability to ride the monster.
In battle.
In battle. And then use a rider-specific attack. But I almost think that once your kinship stone is full, then that maybe makes it more likely that you'll do a double team attack because you're like syncing up.
No, I had no problem doing it on my first turn battle. I think it has to do with like if they're doing a move like intimidate,
Yeah.
Which they clearly stole from the Pokemon series.
This was a heated discussion 20 minutes before we recorded.
If they're doing a move like Intimidate and you and your Velocidrome both use Speed, it doesn't do it. It has to be in a face-off situation, I believe.
Okay. But face-off with the player character.
Right? Yeah, because I think if the monster's also looking at the Velocidrome and not at you and you both do Speed, I don't think that does double team either.
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know. There's probably something to it that... It's really not even that big of a deal at the end of the day.
Yeah. Have you done any of the rider moves and stuff like that?
Yeah, I did the Velocidrome one. So I only have three monsters. I have Velocidrome. I have Aptonoth. And then I have Kit-Kat.
Yep, that's it.
Uh-huh.
Yon Cuckoo.
Yeah.
I think, was that the monster that Gaijin Hunter said is... Furu Furu in Japanese?
No, I don't think it was that one.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't remember who it was. I like the name Furu Furu. It's real cool.
I fought a wild Kit Kat out in the open world.
We're just going to call them Kit Kats for the rest of the episode, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do the first mission, get my Velocidrome, you fight the black cat.
What?
When you get your... That's like the first thing you... That's like the first... The black...
Oh, Nargacuga?
Yeah, you fight...
Spoiler, there's a Nargacuga in the game.
It's like in the opening cutscene.
Yeah, it is. It's like... at least this far, it's like the main enemy.
Yeah, it's like the laggy, I guess, of the... Maybe, I don't know. Something will probably happen.
Yeah.
I fought the black cat. We leave, we get to the town, and as soon as I was able to get out of the town, I started walking around, and then I saw Kit Kat, and I was like, oh, I'm probably way under level for this, but I want to see if I can kill it, because pretty much all you see in the open world right away are Velocidrome and Apothem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apples.
Everywhere.
Apples, Kit Kats. What else did you have?
Snickers.
You said? Snickers. There's some Snickers in there.
Bananas. Yeah. Yeah. It's just fruit and candy. It's really weird.
Yeah. It's a very strange game.
So I was like, oh, obviously the Kit Kat is one of the, you know, bigger monsters in Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And I was able to take it out. I had to use like one herb or something.
Yeah.
But then I found a cave and I went in the cave and I got to the end and a Kit Kat was sleeping on top of the eggs and... I bet this is a Kit Kat egg. It hatched into four bars of chocolate. Again, really weird.
So the interesting thing there is, and I don't totally understand this mechanic, because what you said makes sense. However, you can keep searching the nest for other eggs until the nest has no more eggs.
I can take multiple. You can only take one.
You can only take one at a time.
Okay.
But you can put that one back and search for another one.
Do I have to move my character?
No.
Okay.
It's just like if you keep pressing A and you're, I don't know, scavenging or whatever.
Sure.
And the pattern on the egg indicates what monster will hatch from it.
Okay.
I don't know that there's different colors, too, for each egg. So there's different patterns which determine the monster, and then there's different colors within those patterns. And I don't know, I haven't figured out if there is a specific reason that the color, or what the colors mean. I'm assuming something, or maybe they don't mean anything. They're just colorful. But you can keep searching, so you probably could have gotten another Velocidrome out of there.
Let me tell you what I don't need.
Which is weird.
Two Velocidromes.
Because you're searching through a Yon Cuckoo nest.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense.
I wanted the...
Maybe it does.
I wanted Yon Cuckoo.
Yeah.
I wanted to add it to my Pokedex. I mean, my Nestadex.
Monsterpedia is what it's actually called.
What was the Poogie? The
Poogiepedia. Which is another Monster Hunter element that still exists. Is there's Poogies.
Love it.
And they're like scattered throughout the game in various worlds. I'm assuming.
You have to like find them.
You find them and then they go back to the village. And
find them, you change the diaper, you pamper them up.
Yeah. I found a Poogie in a frog outfit. And I was very excited.
How many have you found?
I don't know. I think maybe like six.
What?
Yeah.
I only found one so far.
Just like Monster Hunter 2, there's a hub world that you start with. There's a village hub world where you have all of your house and your quest board and all that stuff. and then there is an open world area that is directly outside of that. And it's been hinted at in the story that there are many more of these open worlds other than just the one in the demo, which yeah. I would hope that that's the case. I'm guessing that the Poogies will probably be scattered throughout
okay.
the entire overworld.
That makes sense.
There's also dens, which is where you found your egg.
Yep.
And those apparently are random. When you go, they're random to the instance. So if you go into the village and you come back out, it'll be in a different area.
Oh, yeah, I guess because the cave I went into to get the Kit Kat egg was actually like right next to the bridge.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't see this before.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
There's also rare monster dens, which
mine said rare monster den when I walked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you probably fought.
I didn't fight anything.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, like I fought a bunch
then
of crabs.
I won't say anything.
I fought some crabs. I don't know what they were called.
Hermitaurus.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
And I assume that the Kit Kat would have woken up. I did like walk up to it and like touch, like bump into it with my character, and it didn't wake up. So
I think it's timer. So when you go into the den or the egg den, because you go into the like from the hub world, you go or from the open world, you go into this nest, and then you have to navigate the nest until you get to specifically the egg den room. And when you go in there, then either the monster isn't there, or the monster is sleeping, or the monster is just there and awake. And if it's there and awake, then you can just run into it and fight it. If it's sleeping or not there, then you can scavenge the like herbs and mushrooms and everything throughout. But you're on a timer. After like a certain amount of time, then it's either going to wake up or it's going to come back to the nest.
Got it.
And then you have to fight it.
Okay.
So there is an element of like, if you don't get too close or you don't, you know, whatever, you can sneak and steal an egg and then just leave.
Huh. Overall, though, I started off being like, not for me. But now that I've gotten to the combat and now I'm getting to like the collection stuff, I feel really good about it. I'm really excited for it now. Oddly enough, I'm excited for the amiibos just because they look pretty cool.
I don't know if they're coming here.
They have to be.
I haven't heard a single word about it.
I know, but it's Nintendo and they love, like, it's pure money for them.
If I had to guess, I would say they're probably waiting to see how it sells before they bring the amiibos.
They did drop the ball on the Animal Crossing amiibos. I feel like every Target has a million Animal Crossing amiibos.
Well, they came out so far after, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully they don't do that here. But if you, the listener, does want to get the Monster Hunter Stories amiibos, I think there's 6 or 7 of them, you can also just import them from Amazon, the Japanese ones. And it's not drastic. I think it's $12 for an amiibo normally. It's like 14 to 16 for the imported Monster Hunter Stories ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad.
I would assume they would still work regardless.
I think so. I don't know where amiibos come into play.
I don't know either.
That is not in the demo.
That's probably a question we'll save for another time.
Correct.
Since we've run a little long.
Did we? It's just really excited about that.
I think we're at the 50-minute mark here. Overall, though, the last thing I'll say about Monster Hunter Stories, and we'll probably talk about it more once the actual game comes out, maybe even next week if I get more time with it and we have more things to say, but if you have somebody who is not a... If you have a friend that is not into Monster Hunter, but they're into Pokemon and they're into like Yo-Kai Watch, you know who they are. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those two things go kind of hand in hand and it branches out from there. So you should know your friends.
Absolutely.
But if they're not into Monster Hunter and they're into like one of those two, I would even throw Final Fantasy into that mix.
Yeah.
You should encourage them to download Monster Hunter Stories because it is a really good footstep into the door that is Monster Hunter.
Right. And I'll be interested to see how this plays out because I bought Generations for my wife and she likes it, but she's not like real deep into it. It's no Yo-Kai Watch. But she's very excited. She's played the demo for Stories and she loves it, which I knew that she would. So I'll be interested to see after her playing Stories if she then is more interested in branching into core Monster Hunter games.
Yeah.
Now that she's familiar with the world and the monsters and the, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Well, let's stop there. Let's put our knives away, leave the corpse of the body we were carving behind. Twitter. You are at Micah the Brave on Twitter.
Correct.
I am at Dragging a Lake on Twitter.
Also correct.
We said this last week, but if you are enjoying the show and you're tweeting at us, I try to reply to everyone that tweets at us. Thank you so much for letting us know that you love the show. You know, feel free to continue tweeting at us. The folks that comment on our SoundCloud page, I read all those comments. I try to comment to all those. So again, I love all the communication and the feedback that you guys are giving us. If you have like 5 or 10 seconds, if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review in iTunes, that would help us out, because that would help other hunters find the show easier. And iTunes has its all ranking system. And if this was a YouTube equivalent, we would be like, smash that like button and hit that subscribe. But
I don't think we would ever do that. But
in iTunes, it's the whole leave a review kind of thing. So
yeah, and who knows? Maybe it will help people find us that maybe wouldn't be into Monster Hunter, and maybe it helps them be into Monster Hunter. Community building.
Maybe Stories is their first Monster Hunter game.
That's true.
And then they find us and they want to get into a core series. They're like, these guys don't know what they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
I feel way better about this.
They make me feel good. That's really what it's all about. So I think that will end it there. So you can also, again, follow the podcast on Twitter at Carve Podcast. Otherwise, keep on hunting those monsters
and keep on carving those monsters.